Marcus Mariota has been set free. Welcome to the program, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Luke Rogers, Braden Gall here. Julian Council producing, intern Calvin Field. Yates reporting that the Tennessee Titans and head coach Mike Mularkey have mutually agreed to part ways, according to a league source. I don't believe I've seen anyone else report it. I've seen other people report about the reporting, but Field Yates, as of right now, reporting that Mike Mularkey and the Tennessee Titans have agreed to part ways. Now,
I'll say this, though. ESPN, haven't worked there. They don't go off of anything unless they have it confirmed by, like, multiple sources. They'll wait an hour and a half. It could be reported by Fox, CBS, everyone in the world, and they'll wait to be the last one. So this is legit.
Yeah, Field Yates is a legitimate reporter. I completely believe his. When he reports something, I think it's completely believable. So I just want to make sure we're giving credit where credit is due. He is the one reporting it, and that is the response. Now, my first initial in-the-moment immediate reaction to this is Mike Mularkey fell on the sword because he was, again, pure speculation on my part here and our part here, pure speculation that he was asked to make changes and said no, so they mutually agreed to part ways. I don't see how that's not the truth. I do not have any actual information about that. That is pure speculation on my part.
And I would say this, and to support Field Yates, is that he really got his break because he is super close with the Belichick family. And that's how he got in his insider thing. And so that would also, in that tree, would be John Robinson. So I think this sounds very true. And I think I'm with you. He fell on his sword. He died on that hill because they weren't going to let him bring in his guy or keep his guy. And here, as someone who vocally at least the last 3 hours, and every time I'm on this show, has said they have to make a change on offense. The coaching staff is where they've let them down, from the offensive line coach all the way up to Terry Rubisky. They've got to make a change. And guess what? Mike Mularkey wanted to have his guy, keep his guy. And I'm pretty sure that front office and John Robinson said, we can't have status quo. Everybody else is getting better. We can't say the same. And Mularkey said, well, then I'm out. And they said, well, here's the door. Technically, moving forward, Mike Mularkey is our head coach, and we saw that it was a technicality. It was not a full vote of confidence.
Yeah, let's go all the way back. Let's go weeks back. Now we can go 2.5 weeks back with this, and we can say, all right, some reports from various sources: Jay Glazer, Adam Schefter, and Rappaport, saying Mike Mularkey's job is in jeopardy. You take that piece of information, you add to it that John Robinson, the GM of the team, didn't hire the head football coach.
Right.
So you start there, then you work back to those reports.
Not his guy.
Then you come back and you see Mike Mularkey after the Jacksonville game saying very strange things, even though, again, we like it that he's honest, saying things like, I never felt like I had support, so I assumed the worst. Which, again, it may be true. It's just very strange to hear it said out loud by an NFL head football coach at a press conference following a game in which you clinched a playoff spot. Very strange for that to happen. Then, of course, the very next day, you've got the very vague, very strange sort of statement from Amy Adams Strunk and ownership saying he is our coach moving forward. They didn't actually say anything specifically. They then win the game against Kansas City on this crazy comeback. Then all of a sudden you hear reports that there's an extension being offered to Mike Mularkey. And then, of course, again, within that report was never signed extension. It was always offered extension.
Right, didn't ever say it was
never
signed.
Never said he signed an extension. There was no details of it. It just said has been offered an extension. Mike Mularkey comes out and says there will be no coaching changes. And now the last piece of news, Mike Mularkey has agreed to part ways mutually with the Tennessee Titans. This reeks of John Robinson asking his coach to make changes and the coach saying, I'm not willing to do that. And the two of them then saying, all right, then this isn't going to work. And again, that's all speculation. I am merely taking like 11 dots and connecting them all.
Yeah.
But that you go, but this has been 3 weeks in the making. And it does make sense that this played out the way it did. Now, am I of the belief that Mike Mularkey should have been fired? No. But do I respect the man for dying on that mountain and falling on the sword for his guys? I guess. On one hand, I say yes. On the other hand, I say you just gave up one of the 32 best jobs in the world.
Right.
Because of loyalty to some guys that weren't necessarily getting the job done.
100%. This offense didn't get the job done. We read off the stats earlier this year. They were worse in every significant statistical category except for penalties on the offensive side of the ball. So, controlling owner Amy Adams Strunk came out and said this just in the last few minutes. I want to thank Mike Mularkey for his contributions to our franchise over his 10-year with our organization. So Mike Mularkey officially out, and now Josh McDaniels goes from being a favorite in Indy to possibly the guy in Tennessee.
Where
now,
would you want to coach? Or where, if you're Josh McDaniels, where would you want to go?
I would want to coach in Tennessee.
Well, Josh McDaniels has said multiple times, like, when he wants to be a coach again, he's always, I'm going to leave New England, but I want to have two things. I want to go with someone I know I can work well with. Check.
Ownership,
John Robinson,
right.
Worked with him. And he also want to work with someone with a quarterback that he likes. I'm pretty sure he probably likes the quarterback he got down here. So it would make perfect sense that he'd be coming here. And it's been linked for him to come here anyway before. Like, we were unsure about Mike Mularkey's status. So.
And I want to go out on a limb too, Julian and Braden, and say this, is that I think they were holding on to Mike Mularkey, at least keeping him in a holding pattern until they were sure they had a real good shot at McDaniels. And I'm guessing that behind the scenes, and this is just my hunch, but behind the scenes they were talking, you know, because John Robinson and Josh McDaniels have a relationship from New England.
Sure.
I think that there's a really, really strong possibility that when they thought they could get Josh McDaniels out of New England once New England finishes their run in the playoffs, that was more of a sure thing. And so Mike is out.
And that could be I'll say this.
That could be as big a deal as him not wanting to fall on his sword or whatever for his coaching staff.
Now, Chris Ballard, the GM, and Andrew Luck, the quarterback, aren't necessarily worse than John Robinson and Marcus Mariota. Now, I think the roster for the Tennessee Titans is in a better place than the roster is for the Indianapolis Colts. But Chris Ballard, very well-respected GM. The question is, how much does Josh McDaniels know him? How close are they? What's their relationship like? Clearly, Andrew Luck, if he's fully healthy, is a better player than Marcus Mariota is. But those two things exist essentially in both places. We just don't know what type of relationship Josh McDaniels has with Chris Ballard. The question is does everyone really truly believe that Josh McDaniels makes this franchise better? And I think it does, yes. I don't know if it takes them to a championship level. Let me read the entire statement from Titans controlling owner Amy Adams Strunk. She released a statement just moments ago. Quote, I want to thank Mike Mularkey for his contributions to our franchise over his tenure with our organization. He took over our team during a low moment and together with John Robinson, built a solid foundation for our franchise. I appreciate that Mike devoted himself to this team and the community. In fact, we did discuss extending his future with our team over the past week, but in those discussions about the direction of the team, it became evident that we saw different paths to achieve greater success. It is certainly unfortunate that we couldn't find enough common ground. I generally believe that continuity is the best path for success, but I also view this as an important moment for our football team as we try to make that next step to sustained success on the field. John Robinson will begin the search immediately to identify that person. I think the most important sentence in there for the statement, again, that's from Amy Adams Strunk, controlling owner for the Tennessee Titans, says, we were working to extend his future with our team in the past weeks, but in those discussions about the direction of the team, it became evident that we saw different paths to achieve greater success. Read, to me, fire some coaches or else. And Mike Mularkey said, I'm not going to do that.
It's pretty disappointing that, because I thought a couple weeks ago that the only way I could see Mike not coming back, because I felt like he should come back after what he's done the last 2 years with his franchise, but I could only see the only reason he would not come back is if he refused to fire coaches. And I can understand loyalty, but like you said, there's only 32 of these jobs. He's had two of them before. This is his third job, and he's going to throw away his third job. And, I mean, he's got to be fine. His livelihood is probably fine. His family's probably going to be fine. But you throw away your third opportunity, probably your last opportunity in this league as a head coach, because of loyalty, because
he just won his first playoff game.
I know, I have respect for that, but man, you got to do, in the end of the day, you got to do what's best for you. But if he feels like the best thing for Mike Mularkey and for Mike Mularkey is his name is to, you know, stick with his guys that he brought from Atlanta and go out like this, then fine. I mean, respect to him, but I just can't understand how anyone would throw away their third and probably their last opportunity to be head coach in this league by doing this.
A press conference is expected later today at St. Thomas Sports Park with Titans general manager John Robinson. This is all coming directly from the Tennessee Titans, so it is now official. And I'm with Julian. I'm very torn on this because, again, I have a lot of respect for a guy who is going to exhibit that type of loyalty. But you know, we can all be good buddies and work together, but I'm going to do what's best for my family.
Yeah.
And listen, he's fine financially. The guy doesn't need – this isn't about money. This is about – he walked away from Buffalo. He got a raw deal in Jacksonville, and he just won his first playoff game.
Yeah.
And you're gonna die on that mountain? Like, Terry Rubisky is that good of a friend to you? Like, that's what he's saying, essentially, is I'm willing to quit my job and give up one of the 32 best jobs in all of sports for my friendship with Terry Rubisky. Right? I mean, isn't that what that's saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how that reads to
me. That's how it reads to me, too. And listen, we talked earlier. We were trying to put our heads together and figure out who they could possibly hire an offensive coordinator who would take that job, knowing that they're, you know, that they would be an OC and not a head coach.
Right.
And now that whole landscape has changed. So say, throw out the whole, I mean, Josh McDaniels is obviously the favorite now because of the ties to John Robinson, but this becomes so much more attractive for anybody who's a head coaching candidate now, or is a coordinator and wants to be a head coach. You bring an offensive guy, Jim Bob Cooter. Anybody out there, Bruce Arians, maybe he wants to return to football, maybe he
doesn't.
That's
the name I want.
Listen, any of those guys now are viable options because it's a head coaching job.
Let's dive into what it is they now have to offer, because I think a big part of the discussion around firing Terry Rubisky and hiring an OC underneath Mike Mularkey was who could you get? What was the talent pool you were picking from? That has changed significantly to what you just said. So let's get into that when we come back. What are some of the names the Titans can go after? Who should be the favorites? Do we like Josh McDaniels? Is that the answer? We'll get into that when we come back. Luke Rogers, Braden Gall, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How do I say goodbye to a
I don't know if this is mean-spirited. I don't know. Julian Council producing the win over the KFC Chiefs. KFC Chiefs, the KFC Chiefs.
Might as well be the KFC Chiefs.
The win was over. Was the good times. The good times was Mike Mularkey's playoff win over the Kansas City Chiefs.
They outweigh the bad.
And they outweigh the bad, which was losing to the Patriots, which everybody does, frankly. The question, though, is here, let's start and sort of whittle this down to candidates. The point, where I think this is a real big benefit, even though I'm with Julian, I thought that Mike Mularkey deserved to stay as the head football coach. I think it's of his own choosing that he is leaving the head coaching job here at the Titans. I think it's on him that happened. Now, it might be because they put an ultimatum on him or whatever, but
yeah.
Point is Mike Mularkey probably could have kept his job if he wanted to. So what we now have is a greater talent pool to pull from, because when you look at names like Hugh Jackson or Bruce Arians or Josh McDaniels, you're not going to get those guys to come be the offensive coordinator for you here under Mike Mularkey. But offering a head coaching job, a very, very different thing.
Yep. A lot of things to offer here. I mean, and listen, kudos to the Titans for, you know, having the gumption and the courage to make this move, because I think it took that. Like, I know that John Robinson, as the GM, didn't get to have his guy, and I'm sure that bothered him at some point because the ownership was so committed to Mike Mularkey. And, you know, apparently they were still committed to Mularkey, you know, even after the loss yesterday. But I believe that totally changed when he was unwilling to change his staff. And, you know, he chose to die on that hill, and you know, all credit to the Titans saying that we've got to go in a different direction if we're going to get better, because everyone else in division is getting better. And you're right. The opening at head coach, the head coaching job for the Tennessee Titans is much more attractive than trying to fill an offensive coordinator role would have Mularkey acquiesced and gotten rid of Terry Rubisky. Now, who's out there? I know that everyone's talking about Josh McDaniels.
Well, hang on. Let me start with the Titans here before we dive down into the names. Where does this job rank in your opinion? We got Detroit, we got the Giants, we got Indianapolis, Titans. Anybody else open? Am I missing
Giants?
Any other jobs?
Giants?
Yeah, Giants. I don't know if I'm missing any other jobs there. I think it's a better job now outside of media market, because the Giants sort of have this. There's a gravitas to that job that exists. It's clearly a better job than Detroit. I would rank Nashville and Mariota and this roster ahead of Matt Stafford, but that's still a decent roster that they've put together. I think the Colts roster is well behind the Titans roster, but they have a really good GM and a really good quarterback.
Quarterback, yeah.
But you could make the case that the Titans' job is the one that you can win the easiest, that you can win the quickest.
Well, they're the only playoff team out there that's looking for a coach. So, I mean,
the Lions had a better record, but tougher situation.
Right, but the Titans went to the playoffs with an archaic offense.
Right.
Archaic. Old style football. Sammy Baugh, Y.A. Tittle. They run this kind of stuff. See, I mean,
settle down, Johnny.
I'll tell you that this is a great and attractive situation, especially because so many signs point to the regression this year, at least in my mind, and what we talked about earlier in earlier segments, really falling on the shoulders of the preparation and the coaching and the schematic strategies of this offensive coaching staff. So if you can find that guy that can come in and change and wants to build something not unlike what Bill O'Brien has done with Watson in Houston, and basically You want to put a round peg in a round hole, not a square hole. And Marcus Mariota in a heavy set offense that ran, you know, very few, only 39% of the time ran three wide receiver sets, which has become really the standard in the NFL. That's 39%. I think it's an amazing opportunity to really find out what the ceiling is for this team, and also for John Robinson to have his guy and build his staff here in Tennessee.
So that leads us directly to Josh McDaniels first and foremost. Sell me on Josh McDaniels, because the things that stand out to me about Josh McDaniels, and the only question that I think matters that doesn't have an answer yet, is can he do it without Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? Because he was a head coach at Denver, he went 11-17. His first decision was to trade Jay Cutler. That's a positive to me.
Right.
If your first decision was to trade Jay Cutler,
well,
I
no,
think that's a
no,
positive.
It can't be, because that
yes,
year,
it is. Jay Cutler's not a good quarterback.
I know, but end of the day, he didn't turn out to be a great quarterback. But back that when he was at Denver, he was coming out to what turned out to be the best year of his career. So in hindsight,
up until Adam Gase in Chicago,
right? Exactly. But like back then, that the move to get rid of Jay Cutler in favor of Kyle Orton, Brady Quinn, and Tim Tebow in your quarterback room, you got fired, was not a good decision. So you can look back and have revisionist history on what Jay Cutler ended up being, but back then that was not a good decision, and it turned out for him obviously wasn't a good decision because he got fired.
I see what you're trying to say.
I'm not
Jay
trying
Cutler.
To say what I'm
he
saying
threw 26
is
26 interceptions his first year in Chicago.
I understand. I'm saying
he's not a good quarterback.
Okay, I get it. Yeah, Jay Cutler did not turn out to be a good quarterback, but he came off what turned out to be the best year of his career, and you traded that for Kyle Orton and Tim Tebow and Brady Quinn. Like
I'm not denying that. I am being negative here on Josh McDaniels, so I didn't get to any of that. But Josh McDaniels, 11-17, fired midway through his second season in Denver. That was his record, and he ended up trading up to get Tim Tebow and all this stuff, trading Jay Cutler. We can argue about that. The bottom line is he was fired midway through his second season. Then he went to the Rams. People forget this. He went to the St. Louis Rams. They had the 31st ranked offense and went 2-14 before returning to the Patriots. So there's a three-year stint in there away from Belichick and Brady where he was basically awful.
Yeah.
Now he's been great with Brady and Belichick. So as someone who needs to be convinced of Josh McDaniels, and you as someone who thinks Josh McDaniels is the guy that takes this team into the future with Marcus Mariota and has that offense, sell me on Josh McDaniels.
Well, I mean, listen, he coached under Nick Saban. People forget that, at Michigan State as a GA. And also spent now a total of, it would appear, almost 13 years under Bill Belichick. And then had that stint as a head coach. I mean, listen, it's tough to gauge how good an offense is and how good a coordinator is when you have a transcendent quarterback. I think that's the problem. You and I both follow the Packers, and I think that's the problem with any of those guys that got hired off that staff. You look at Joe Philbin, who got a head coaching job in Miami. You look at Ben McAdoo, who was a disaster of a head coach for the New York Giants. Both those guys were coordinators for the Packers, and you had the privilege of coaching under Aaron Rodgers. And we saw how that whole thing fell apart in Green Bay this year when he was hurt. So, you know, take Brady off that. I don't know, but it's tough to be a good coordinator without a good quarterback. That's the other thing. We saw, you know, Kyle Shanahan was able to do it with Matt Ryan having an MVP year, parlayed that into a head coaching job in San Francisco.
Sean McVay
as well, but those guys were great.
Kirk Cousins is not necessarily a great player.
No, he's good enough.
I'm the only guy who thinks Kirk Cousins is a little overrated.
I think he's a good enough player, though.
But we also have Blake Bortles, Case Keenum, and Nick Foles in the finals right
sure.
now.
Sure. So, I mean, but I will say, both those guys that got hired last year did great jobs as head coaches. So, and look, Bill Belichick was a disaster as a head coach in Cleveland. He really had to reinvent himself. Pete Carroll, we talked about this earlier as well. Pete Carroll he wasn't a great coach in New England, and then he kind of reinvented himself at SC and then got the Seattle job and won a Super Bowl.
And Daryl Bevel got respect because they stumbled on Russell Wilson.
Right.
Not
right,
because
right,
Daryl
right.
Bevel was designing
No,
his
I thought he was terrible
offense,
in Green
right.
Bay.
I mean, I talked to Seattle fans. They hate Daryl Bevel.
Yeah, I think he was terrible in Green Bay.
Which is why he's not there anymore.
So, I mean, anytime it's a crapshoot, and I don't know how.
Like, to me, Bruce Arians isn't a crapshoot.
No.
Now, I know he's got health issues, and he may not want to coach again. But my first call is not Josh McDaniels. My first call is Bruce Arians. And if Bruce Arians wants to come here and coach, that mad scientist genius can come here and coach right now, tomorrow, and make Marcus Mariota a special player. That, to me, there's no questions to me with Bruce Arians. There's no concerns. There's no, can he do it outside of Brady and Belichick? To me, there's no questions with Bruce Arians. Again, he may not want the job.
Yeah, but he also might have possibly left Arizona because Carson Palmer's done. And as bad as Carson really was the last couple of years – you're starting over again. It's Drew Stanton or Blaine Gabbert or whoever you draft, or trade for. If you go get Alex Smith maybe this year.
I would hire Bruce Arians this second today, right now. I would have the press conference next hour.
Yeah.
If he wants the job, I would call him and say, what do you want? $5 million, $6 million?
I think John Robinson, though, wants one of his guys. And the thing that makes the most sense, I think, why everybody's trying to connect these dots, is that Josh McDaniels makes a lot of sense for a guy that, you know, wants to recreate the Patriot way here in Nashville.
Is Josh McDaniels capable of that? That is what I don't think anyone has an answer to yet.
Yeah,
I don't know. If you're pro Josh McDaniels like you are, and I'm sort of like, I'm not really sure. I don't really like the hire if it's Josh McDaniels. I'll be willing to give it time and be patient to watch it, because I sort of felt this way about Mike Mularkey. I was sort of like, I don't know if he's going to win you championships, but he's probably going to bring some stability. I'll wait and see if it works.
Right.
There was really nowhere to go but up. The difference is now you have a much different expectation.
Yeah.
You've gone 9 and you're going to bring in a guy with two winning seasons, and you're going to expect a return trip to the expectations for this Titans franchise have changed and are very different today than they were when Mike Mularkey was announced. You could get away with that hire then. I don't know if you can get away with that now. I think the fans would be excited about Josh McDaniels. I'm still not sure why.
I think the most excitement out of all this is you're going to have a different look on offense. And I think that's what you can get excited about at Tennessee Titans. Regardless of who they bring in, we're not going to see heavy sets. We're going to see somebody. John Robinson is going to hire somebody that's going to take Marcus Mariota and put him in the best situation for his skill set and allow him to succeed. Otherwise, he's not hiring anybody. I mean, that's why Mularkey was shown the door, is because he refused to change on offense. And that has to happen. Anybody, casual fan to someone who spent their entire career in football.
Any job. You have to be able to evolve.
But anybody watching this from a casual fan to a GM somewhere who's actually, it would say, man, they got to do something different because what they're doing isn't working. And Mike Mularkey, unable or unwilling to make that change. And I really feel like because of the Patriot connections, you're going to look at Josh McDaniel as the favorite for this job. It's a better job than Indianapolis. And that was where it was assumed he was going to end up.
I know this is going to sound strange. I got a couple other names I'm going to throw at you guys. Also, 615-737-1025. Who do you want right now today to be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans? I've got a couple of ideas when we come back. And time for your phone calls. Joe Rexroad going to join us later this hour as well. Fast and the Furious here on the morning show. We'll be right back. Luke Rogers, Braden Gall, ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 102.5 The Game is your flagship station for the reigning Western Conference champions, the Nashville Predators. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and like us on Facebook to keep up with all things in Smashville. Twitter at 102.5 The Game, Instagram at The Game Nashville, Facebook.com/The Game Nashville. 615-737-1025. Who do you want? Ian Rappaport reporting, quote, "The belief was that Patriots OC Josh McDaniels would prefer the Titans job over all other coaching jobs. The health of Andrew Luck was an issue, and the high ceiling with Marcus Mariota was a positive. I know why Josh McDaniels would want the job. I'm trying to sell myself on why the Titans would want Josh McDaniels, and there just is no real discernible answer to the question about Josh McDaniels as it pertains to him being a head coach outside of Belichick and Brady. So we just don't know. And it's not to say that he won't be a great coach, but we have no idea. And the body of work is 11-17 at Denver, 31st overall offense at St. Louis for 1 year, and then great with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. However, we do have somebody from East Tennessee has chimed in on who she believes the head coach for the Tennessee Titans should be. Do we have that ready to go?
Peyton Manning?
No. Bev, no.
No.
Peyton Manning will not be the head coach. I've already got people on Twitter asking me about that. No, Peyton Manning will not be the coach. Hugh Jackson is another candidate that's interesting. Hard to sell the press conference there after a 1-31 record.
Yeah.
But I think Hugh Jackson, from an offensive standpoint, is an extremely well-respected quarterback offensive scheme guy. And I think his time in Cincinnati, his time elsewhere, I think head coaching experience, I think pretty well respected. Not sure you can sell that press conference, but I think that is a much better choice than for Marcus Mariota than the current regime was in place before him.
But I like how you, on one hand, would say Josh McDaniels failed as a head coach, so how can you trust him? And then you can say, well, Hugh Jackson would be a good choice. And
because he did it with Andy Dalton.
Not
Tom Brady.
He struggled, though, with – I mean, he's had no quarterbacks.
I think his front office is also totally – you know.
But why the problem starts the ownership.
I think the ownership group in the front office has ruined Hugh Jackson. Again, I think it's a tough sell.
It is.
I think 1-31 is a tough sell. His job, he didn't get a good shake at with the Raiders either. I think, again, his head coaching resume is a tough sell. I think his offensive coordinating ability is a much more proven commodity than Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. I'd like to see, you know, here's the thing, though, is that Josh is a Patriot guy, and so is John Robinson. I think that's why everybody's easily connecting these dots. It doesn't mean that he's the best candidate necessarily, but he's going to be the top of the list.
And the fact that this happened all so quickly at 9 a.m. on a Monday morning, 2 days after a playoff game, means that John Robinson probably has a guy in place that he's ready to give the job to that already knows he's going to get a yes from. And to me, that name is obviously Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
So, Rob wants to chime in. Rob, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, oh, what a day. This is so exciting. This is so exciting. Well, first of all, I think Josh McDaniel would be an awesome fit for this team here. It's time out for this team to stop going with this old identity of smash my football. Come on, guys. This is not the 90s anymore. Josh McDaniel could – I'm just going to tell you what I think he could bring to this team. He could bring fans, more fans, to come out and buy tickets. He can change the identity of this team with the media. They will stop looking at this team as a little mediocre team. He will make this team better than what it could ever be, because I think we got the players to do it with. They just hadn't been put in the position. Now, although Marcus, I have still questioned about, because he has got to get, I think he's got to progress. His progression level has really been slow. But other than that, I think we got the players, and with Josh McDaniels, he can bring a lot to this team, and he can build this franchise like it, never before. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Rob. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm not saying that Luke, you aren't right, that Josh McDaniels has learned from his mistakes at Denver and has learned more under Belichick and Brady and is better equipped to be a great head coach. And I certainly believe that he'll bring this offense into the 21st century. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But we also went through this exact same thing with Mike Munchak at the end of his tenure with the ultimatum and the whole power play thing, and the GM won that job. And then they hired Ken Wisenhunt and brought progress to a screeching halt. So the risk here with Josh McDaniels is that there's some upside. He brings the Patriot way, and he reinvents the offense. That's all the positives that could be really, really good. The negative could be you hire a guy that just isn't that good as a head coach, and all the progress you made in the last 2 years comes crashing down.
Well, let's just hope, since in his last tenure, if he ends up being the choice in his last tenure with Patriots, he really got the model on how to run things from Bill Belichick. And, you know, although Belichick wears both the head coach and the GM hat, there's a lot less pressure if you're the guy – just happen to be the head coach and not have to make the personnel decisions necessarily, which he wouldn't do with John Robinson in place. So that being said, I think he possibly could be a great head coach, but you don't know. You just don't know. That's the problem.
Who do you like better, Jeff Fisher or Greg Schiano?
Yeah, right. Hey, Fisher developed two quarterbacks now playing in the NFC Championship.
That's true. You that
developed. Using that term very loosely.
Is this James? James wants to chime in. James, what's up?
Guys, I'm just happy, first and foremost, that there will be no groomers in Tennessee at all. Let's put that to rest right now. Get it out of the way. John Gruden is gone. He's not coming to Tennessee. Second of all, guys, I want to say, can we just get the Lane train rolling back in Tennessee again? If we're going to throw some people in the hat, some names in the hat, let's just get Lane Kiffin on the phone, see what he has to say, young guy. Let's get that Lane train rolling, guys, okay?
I listen, as a radio host, I want to cover Lane Kiffin. Yes, I think that would be spectacular.
Jeez.
But that is purely selfish reasons. That has nothing to do with wins and losses.
I mean,
Tennessee Titans.
I don't want to cover a 3-13 team coached by Lane Kiffin. That's not fun.
Lane Kiffin makes 3-13 fun.
He won't.
I mean, it would.
Listen, Greg Schiano, Peyton Manning, Jeff Fisher, and Lane Kiffin are not candidates. Can we just put those four names to bed?
I would love to see. Oh, man. Can you imagine if they hire McDaniels, he brings in Kiffin to be the OC, and Peyton Manning to be the quarterback coach?
I mean, season tickets would go, sales would go through the roof.
this place would get even more wild than it already is.
Oh my goodness! I think Hugh Jackson is a legitimate name. I think Bruce Arians would be a call I would make immediately.
I like Jim Bob Cooter.
I still
especially
think
because they probably will try to retain him in Detroit, but still at the OC level, which makes this a much more attractive opportunity.
No idea if he's
that's the same thing.
I think he's a great offensive mind. I don't know again what his head coaching
is
going to be.
Is he great outside of Matt Stafford? I mean, that's another thing. Stafford's a good quarterback.
Can we just go ahead and eliminate Nick Saban's name too? By the way, I know he's got the Mercedes dealership right down the road, but I know his only two dealerships are in Birmingham and Nashville. So maybe he just wants to come up here and keep an eye on that Mercedes dealership.
Here's a thought from Ross Tucker, who we've had on the show a few times. If you won't fire an assistant out of loyalty, aren't you on some level being disloyal to all of your other assistants that now don't have a job?
Very true point. Very good point. And when McDaniels or whoever were to come in, if you're automatically going to cut a player because they don't fit your scheme, that player's on, you've gotten rid of that player to some degree as well.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the defense alone, now we have no idea if Dick LeBeau would be retained or not. I would assume you would try to keep Dick LeBeau.
Well, I had read something last week about Saturday might be his last game. He might retire. I mean, he is 80, so
this is 60 years in the NFL. It's been a long time. So
yeah, I wonder
That's purely a 3-4 scheme. Does he want to bring in
Vrabel? Mike Vrabel?
That's what I'm saying. What's the defense look like if it's Josh McDaniels? Does he want to totally change that side of the ball as well? That leads to personnel changes. But Julian, your point about the coaching staff is absolutely true. Mike could have fired one guy. Now there's going to be eight or nine or ten guys that might get fired. So, they might not all be fired, but
yeah, they're probably all going to leave and then have to find new homes and new jobs.
I would imagine that.
Just because Mike wanted to save maybe one or two guys on the coaching staff.
It doesn't. Unless the bottom line is Mike saw the writing on the wall that this wasn't going to last long term anyway. That's probably the only thing I can think of. Is he's like, you know what? I led this team back to the playoffs. It got its first playoff win in 14 years. They still obviously have no respect for the job I've done or want me around anymore. I'm going to use this as an excuse to get out.
Well, it doesn't make sense, though, because there's no way he could even believe after three times, because I'm sure someone's going to be out there saying, well, Mike got a raw deal in Tennessee, too. Okay, you got three raw deals. There's no way you're getting a fourth chance in this league. I think he did a good job the past 2 years, but I'm sorry. I hate the retread in the NFL. I hate how BS Rooney Rule is. There's no reason Mike Mularkey deserves a fourth chance to be a head coach in the National Football League. And he threw away his opportunity. You just can't throw opportunities away like this and throw away people's jobs just to save maybe one or two people. I just don't understand that. It's admirable. It's noble. It can be all those things. It also can be stupid and ignorant.
I'm gonna go with the latter, Julian.
I'm with you guys on that one. This reeks of to me, and again, this reeks of very one specific. We've tossed around some names for fun, and we've tossed around some names that we thought were serious, but this reeks of one very specific game plan. This whole thing happened because of one thing and one thing only. We'll get to that when we come back. Luke Rogers, Braden Gall, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You are listening to 102.5 live from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Link of Mount Juliet. ESPN 102.5 The Game and 94.9 Game 2 is the home of MTSU Blue Raider basketball. Listen to MTSU basketball on 94.9 Game 2 Thursday versus the Marshall Thundering Herd with tip time at 7 p.m. and Saturday versus rival Western Kentucky with tip time at 6. When in the borough, tune in to 97.5 for the game broadcast and, of course, on 95.1 for Game 2 when you're out there in Murfreesboro in Rutherford County. Real quickly, this reeks of one thing and one thing only to me, and that is John Robinson, number one with the Titans, and Mike Mularkey parting ways, mutually agreed upon parting ways. This means that one person and one person alone now controls the football power for the Tennessee Titans, and that is John Robinson.
Yeah. I mean, this is sort of the last move of removing anything that didn't have his fingerprint on it necessarily as far as an organizational standpoint. Of course, there's still some players that carry over. It's a fitting that on Martin Luther King Day, a guy that was advocated change and, made a real and lasting change in our country, that the Titans would also make a change and don't want to quit. I don't want it anyway. It make draw equivalent.
Stretching.
Thought,
you're
thought,
stretching.
Hey, it's a day of to honor change, and the Titans are getting
different kind of change. We're looking to honor.
Oh, 100%. But
frankly, we haven't had a lot of that good change. In
the
this
old, the
in
old guard, the we old guard is out.
This is not what we were talking about. So just so people out there don't get confused.
Yes, exactly.
Julian just loves to correct anybody.
No, I'm just trying to make sure the message doesn't get lost. I don't want to mix that with football.
Got you. It's big time move. And I applaud the ownership, too, for getting on board with this. Because Mullarky was the ownership's guy.
Yep.
And that was Amy Adams Trunk's guy. But ultimately, listen, you got to do what's best for your franchise. And if you're not going to make changes schematically, coaching-wise, on the offensive side of the ball, which is what needed to happen for this team to continue to grow and move towards being a franchise that compete for the playoffs every year, this is a move that had to happen, especially because everyone in division is getting better.
Well, this will be the fifth new head football coach in 9 years for the Tennessee Titans organization. And
yeah.
Stability, you could argue that Mike Mullarky created some stability for this organization, and I understand that. I think that he'd absolutely deserve the right to keep the job if he wanted to. He was clearly given some caveats to that, and he didn't agree to them, and therefore they have mutually agreed to fire him.
Yeah.
Or mutually agreed to part ways, I guess is how it's being worded.
So I mean, he basically died on the hill of defending Terry Rubisky and company, and I guess honor in those friendship circles, but man, awfully short-sighted. I just don't know how you justify that as Mike Mullarky, like you said, one of the best 32 jobs in sports, being the head coach of an NFL franchise, especially one that has a lot of pieces in place for sustained success. And yet you're so adverse to change that you have an archaic offense and you won't make staff changes.
And that's the thing, like we talked about how he was so stubborn. When Stephen Godfrey had been filling in, he talked about that's one of Mike's biggest problems is being stubborn. And that's what's cost him his job, which I just can't understand. How you would give up this opportunity, probably your last opportunity, what should be your last opportunity in this league.
They are stubborn coaches, and every coach, college or pro, at the highest level, they are stubborn to a fault. And this is just extra stubbornness, I guess, on his part. Now, like we said earlier, there's some level of respect that you're willing to sort of be loyal to your friends or coworkers or whatever, but you're also getting a lot of people fired in the same time, in the same process. All the players now have no idea, which Cameron Wolf brought up a good point on Twitter, that the locker room liked Mike Mullarky. Delanie Walker, Brian Arakpo, these guys stood up for Mike Mullarky throughout this entire process. And Delanie Walker was a big part of why Mike Mullarky got the job in the first place. So Cameron Wolf made a good point on Twitter that you can't, while the offense needs to evolve and there needs to be a new sort of direction on that side of the football, you've got to be careful to maintain locker room continuity, because part of the reason this team has gotten good, went from 3 wins to 9 wins, and has been competitive over the last 2 years is because of the locker room culture. And some of that's John Robinson, who brought in specific people that fit the mold that he wanted, but some of that's Mike Mullarky. And so you've got to really be careful that if XYZ new coach doesn't have the respect of the locker room or doesn't have the, because that was Ken Wisenhunt's problem. The guy's just kind of a tough dude to be around.
Right.
People didn't like the guy.
Didn't really get along with a lot of people. Yeah.
So to me, if Josh McDaniels, and all of this does point to very clearly that John Robinson has a plan, because it happens so quickly. It goes from Saturday loss, Sunday extension, Monday firing, or mutually parting ways, excuse me, that all of this speaks to John Robinson, A, now is in complete control, and B, has a plan in place. There's very clearly a plan. And the obvious speculation is going to be Josh McDaniels, which has been reported on by multiple people that Josh McDaniels' number one landing spot is the Tennessee Titans job of all of the other job openings, which includes the Giants, the Lions, and the Colts. So all of this points to Josh McDaniels being the next head coach for the Tennessee Titans. Again, all of this purely speculation by a couple of guys in a radio studio taking stabs at this.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a common sentiment, though. You look across the media so far and what people are saying, whether it's on ESPN, Fox, wherever else you're watching for your news, people are talking about this is just – it's an obvious choice for a Patriot, an expatriate, who's now the GM, to bring in a guy that he knows and trusts to run an offense that he was disappointed in this last year. So, yeah, it's – I think it's a very positive move for the franchise, for this organization, if they're going to take a step forward. And this offense took a step back. You can argue all you want about this being a playoff team and making the playoffs, you know, and Mike Mularkey in his first playoff win. But if you look at the metrics, this offense took a giant step backward, including the play of Marcus Mariota this year and the offensive line. And someone's head had to roll, and Mike Mularkey's stubborn. We would assume stubborn enough to not do that. And here you go. You were looking at a whole new staff regime, whole new offense. And I think that can only be a positive thing for the Titans this year. To really try, you got to maximize what you've got, and what you've got is Marcus Mariota. You've got to maximize that. And 13 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, the way that he played this year, isn't maximizing his talent or his skill set. And we need to get back to this Marcus Mariota that in 2016 had that stretch of 22 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Yep.
And that the way he can play. And, you know, he had an injury by all means, but they didn't get enough out of the guys that they have, and they got better personnel-wise on offense.
You know, I'm interested to see, you know, since Rubisky's going to be leaving today, you think they'll fulfill the Rooney Rule obligation by interviewing him, since the rule's a joke anyway?
T. Martin?
Yeah. Or Rubisky. I mean, he's already in-house. You know, it's a minority candidate. Might as well just go ahead and interview him so you can go ahead and get who you really want.
Yeah, I mean, the Rooney Rule is something that they need to work out. There's no question about that. This is a fascinating situation now, because you have a chance to either launch this, catapult this franchise into the next level, into the next tier, into the top tier of the AFC, and be competitive, especially with the future of Brady and Belichick. I'm assuming maybe there's another 2 years at most. I don't know what the number is.
Right.
But you're hoping when you make this hire that you're hiring a guy for 10 years, which you're assuming outlasts Tom Brady and the Patriots. So there is going to be a power vacuum when Big Ben and Tom Brady step away. Who is going to fill that void in the AFC over the next couple of years? And this is the guy you are intending, when you make this hire, you are intending to hire this person to fill that void and be the franchise that steps into that void, along with, I'm assuming, teams like Houston and Jacksonville and maybe even Oakland that step into that void. But we're not really sure. The other side of that coin is you could hire somebody like Ken Whisenhunt, who brings all of the progress that you've made the last 2 years to a screeching, screeching halt. That is the risk you run with this maneuver by John Robinson. But guess what? It's all in John Robinson's court now.
Right.
It's out of everybody else's hands. It's not ownership. It's not Mularkey. It's not the play. It's all John Robinson.
Because he gets his guy now. So there isn't that this was a carryover. This wasn't my guy. Now he gets his guy. He already has his roster. Gets to make the changes, the upgrades, whatever it may be to that roster. So yes, now squarely it falls on John Robinson, and you know, I think so far he's made mostly correct decisions, and we'll see how this plays out. You never can tell. Nobody knew Bill Belichick was going to be Bill Belichick after his failure in Cleveland.
Pete Carroll,
Pete Carroll. You just don't know. Yeah. And
Bill O'Brien was a great hire off the Belichick tree. Everyone else has basically been a bad hire.
Sure,
off the Belichick tree. So we don't know. To your point, we don't know. All right, I want to wrap up one final note here. I want to encourage all Americans to observe this day with acts of civic work and community service in honor of Dr. King's extraordinary life. That's a direct quote. I think everybody should abide by that.
I think you're right. So.
Okay. For Julian Council and for intern Calvin, Luke Rogers, my name is Braden Gall. What a day.
Yeah, what a day, guys.
We'll have continuing coverage all the way through 3D, and of course with Jared the GM on the latest from the Tennessee Titans, as Mike Mularkey and the Titans have mutually agreed sort of to part ways
and
are now under a coaching search. The press conference is coming up at 1 o'clock today. So check that out right here, of course, on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks a lot, guys, for hanging out with us.
A lot less smug today. I mean, I've been in here. It's been a very smug studio.
We'll be back tomorrow morning, better than ever. Hopefully, 3D coming up next right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.